Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from Psalms 51. Psalms 51, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Brokenhearted, look again at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise, which is what I have written out on the marquee. Do you know about being brokenhearted? Seems as if our society knows about being brokenhearted. Nearly all of our songs, not all, certainly not, but there's an awful lot of our songs that have dealings with relationship troubles. I can remember one from my teen years. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. You want me to go on? No, you know. Brokenhearted. What is it about being brokenhearted that is so devastating? Well, it's the dashing of dreams, isn't it? Of plans for the future. And perhaps you had that relationship, especially when you were in your adolescent and teen years, where you just knew this was the person for you, and it lasted all of 2 weeks. And then it was gone. But you got over it, didn't you? That's one of the good things about being brokenhearted from time to time. We realize that, well, maybe that wasn't the best. And that's something my mom always said. She said, Stanton, if it's meant to be, it will last. Sounds like she had listened to Gamaliel back in Acts, doesn't it? If this is of God, it will be sustained. If it's of men, then it will pass. Brokenhearted. We know that that can be difficult because our hopes, our dreams, our plans are all dashed. And so perhaps we're in a state in which we're sorry. And maybe that's a good thing. It has been in the past, hasn't it? And especially in light of our relationship with the Father. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. For it's in giving that you receive, and it is in dying that you live, in the words of another song. You might give up on love, but I hope you don't, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. You've heard of appointments. You make plans. You have a schedule. You set up a routine. The other day I was discussing with Colleen. I said, I never thought about this in by way of an etymology. I like to look at words, where they come from, what they might mean. Through my disappointments. That's one of the songs that we sing. Have you ever thought about disappointments? You have appointments. What are disappointments? Well, is the etymology for the word disappointment things that aren't on the schedule or that cancel out what you had? And you get to thinking about it and you say, well, that's pretty true. A lot of times, disappointments are those things that don't go according to plan. We suffer in a relationship, and it's because we had visualized something much different, and so we are disappointed. Try to do an etymology on the word disappointment and see if maybe that doesn't come back as being true. You have appointments and then you have disappointments. In life, we know that we suffer. We struggle. And by and large, that's because we rely upon other frail, faulty humans, just like we are. Turn with me, and we'll come back to Psalms 51 in just a minute, but turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. And brokenhearted, I think, is almost synonymous with having a broken spirit. But these words are recorded in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. And you realize at that moment when your heart is sad and when your spirit is broken and you're down in the dumps that you need help. And perhaps you reach out to someone that you know that loves you and you cry on their shoulder or you ask for them to hold you. And certainly that can be a good thing, provided you turn to the right people. But there is an opportunity there when your heart is sad and your spirit is broken to reevaluate. To look at things again. To perhaps be more careful, if not even change direction. And we understand that in personal relationships. But why is a broken and contrite heart precious to God? Does He enjoy seeing His children cry? And that's what happens whenever our heart is sad and our spirit is broken. Inevitably, we cry on somebody's shoulder. Why would that be something that would make God happy, or at least satisfy God? Because in the process, we're admitting, I've lost focus. I've misplaced my loyalties. Perhaps we're even saying, I have been obstinate. I have been rebellious. I have been selfish. And quite often in those situations, if we're honest, it may be our fault that things haven't gone the way that they should. And because we lost focus, we actually hurt the people who do love us. Do you ever hurt your parents, or had you hurt your parents when you were growing up? The ones who have given so much, if not all, to you, and then you disappoint them, and you shed tears because you realize that you've been a cad, that you've not been grateful for the things that they did on your behalf. And perhaps that took decades. I've heard of folks that it's decades before they renew their relationship with their parents because in their teen years they were just so stiff-necked and stubborn that they weren't ready to admit that they needed to make changes. Do we do that with God? Yeah. We can do that with God very easily. Let's turn to hymn number 426. 426. Song, isn't it? In fact, that's a song that I think we've learned that since Terry and Linda came to us. And invariably, I have trouble with that song, singing it without getting hit, because it's so true of me. Is it true of you? Oh Lord, my sin is great. But there's lots of hope in that song, isn't there? But I can see the glories set for me. Help me, Father, to know where to start. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. You say, that's not a song. It's not even a passage. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men. I'm not even going to finish it for you. What does that say about us? When we break, then there's the opportunity to put us back together again, isn't there? When we're humbled, we're ready to receive help. When our heart is contrite, then we're admitting that we have had faults. You read that psalm as we did in its entirety, and what do you see evidence of? The mercy of God and my place in His presence. And my place is at His feet, begging that He will shower me with care and not forget me, and not cast me out of His presence, and not deny His Spirit to me, because I know that in God, there is opportunity to love again. And no matter what our relationships are in this life, there is always that relationship that's possible. And there have been those who've gone through life, not only with God as the love of their life, but perhaps no others to compare with that. You think about the Apostle Paul, and I know he had brothers and sons in the faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. But I think of him as being a man so often alone, walking those missionary journeys. Certainly he had companions, whether it was Barnabas or Silas or Timothy or Luke. We know that there were any number. Demas was another, but Demas forsook him. We know that he had others in his shadow, but Paul's love, and after all, he is the apostle who wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. Paul says, nothing compares. If I do all of these good deeds, the acts of benevolence, but I have not love, meaning God's love, it profits me nothing. What was paramount? What was first? When Saul was broken on that road to Damascus, His companions weren't the ones that put him back together again. It was Jesus. And it was only after 3 days of being sad of heart and of a contrite spirit. But because Saul of Tarsus was broken and trusted God and his message through Ananias of the gospel, "Now arise, be baptized. Why do you tarry? Wash away your sins." And it says that Paul got up. What was God doing? He was piecing him back together. And so he does with us. But it takes that moment in life whenever we admit that we're broken and in need of mending. And God is there. Ready? Willing. Why do we cry out, "Break my heart, dear God"? Because we know that without his attention, whatever we put together cannot compare with the hope of eternal life. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, you will not despise. Have you ever heard of a jailhouse conversion? They are put down by and large in society. And rightfully so, because a lot of times it appears as if the guys or the gals are converted in jail so that they can get badges of good behavior and get out early. And so there's a little bit of a motivation behind that. But I have seen jailhouse conversions that work. I've studied with prisoners that have come to the Lord and know that it was sincere and that it was real. Why do we have this concept of jailhouse conversions? Because that's where people feel broken more often than not. Confined in a cell, away from family, their life is stopped cold, and they have a choice: to continue on the path that evidently doesn't go to good things, or change. What better place to come to know the Lord than in jail? I mean, even Christians can experience the love of God in jail. Ask Paul and Silas, singing praises to God at midnight in Philippi. Broken, contrite, pleading, ready for God to help, knowing that only in him is there a solution. Turn with me now to hymn number 117. 117.
A broken spirit and a contrite heart, you will not despise. You will not despise. You desire truth in the inward parts. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, Lord, my heart is prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my spirit.
if you had teenage sons, let's put them around the age of 14, 13, maybe 15. Do you remember that time you walked into their room and you hadn't been there for a while? And you could smell a room before you got there. And you walked in and it was just a mass of clothes. And your son walks up behind you and he's looking a little sheepish. And you say, "Honey, can you finish it for me? I'm so proud of you." Is that what you said? "You have listened to me so well through the years." What do you say? You say, "How do you know which ones are dirty?" And he says, "Well, the clean pile's over there." Maybe you were one of those mothers that tried to teach your children to do their own laundry, and they didn't quite get the concept of folding and putting it away. And so there was a dirty pile and there was a clean pile. "Everything's okay, Mom. I know what's what." Made you not want to go into their room again, didn't it? But as a mother, you knew you had to. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. If any will open and bid him come in, he will sup with him. Who is that? That's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And who's knocking? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's Jesus, isn't it? What is Jesus asking when he asks to come into our hearts? He's asking to straighten up, isn't he? To take that which is amiss and put it aright. To take that which is dirty and cleanse it and make it clean. Does the psalmist know? Let's go back, Psalms 51. Does the psalmist know about his sin, about the mess that he's made? Look at verse 1, Psalms 51. "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. O God, I seek your loving kindness." Broken and contrite? Oh yeah. A mess has been made, a big one. And who is the one that can straighten it out? In Christ alone, our hope is found. That's Psalm 302. We're not going to go to that one. But we understand that, don't we, as Christians? Break my heart, a broken heart, a contrite spirit. God will not despise it. He will not make fun of it. Though the mess is great, he's ready to take that which is broken now and mend it, make it right. Oh God, come into my heart. What does it mean to come in and sup with me? It's to be in fellowship. It's for, have you ever sat down at the table of someone and it's almost like you don't want to touch anything? Probably it's a bachelor's pad. Maybe it's that son again and he's invited you over after he left home for dinner. But you can almost see things crawling on the table. I can remember being in some restaurants like that. Or even some motel rooms that just walked out of, because it's like, not only are there things crawling, it's going to make my skin crawl if I stay around. God knows what infects us. And he doesn't despise the request for help, because he knows that that's where his work lies. Oh God, be gracious. Oh God, in your loving kindness, don't capitalize upon my transgressions and my sins. Now verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. When I bid Christ to come in, he doesn't come in for just a meal. Though that is implied that I will come in and sit down and eat with him. What he is actually saying is, and I will become a member of your house. And so what the psalmist is basically saying is, Lord, sustain me and stay with me. Don't deny me your presence, because I have finally found that which is life. Why would I turn against it ever again? Please don't withhold your spirit from me. Sometimes we find ourselves brokenhearted because we've left the Lord. And there are those in our lives that were once with God who have, for a period of time, and perhaps even now, have walked away from Him. Do you feel their pain? Do you hurt for them, even though perhaps they don't hurt for themselves? Because they've walked Jesus to the door, asked Him to leave, and barred it behind Him. What would possess someone to do such a thing? They've put on blinders. They can't see their own frailty and sin. They've forgotten about the life that comes only from God. It's anybody's guess how the mind gets there, but we know that Satan works that way to deceive, to harden, to renege. Because when we ask Christ to come into our heart and are baptized into His name, into this watery grave, what are we to do with ourselves? What's supposed to have happened? It's the old man of sin that was not simply washed away, but that we died to. Why resurrect that in our lives? Why go back to walk with that which we know to be sinful? Why join ourselves with companions? We're going to talk about that a little bit this afternoon in our lesson as we study Psalms 50 with regards to the counsel of the wicked and the company that they keep. Would you knowingly, willingly go back into a life separated from the only one who can put you back together? It seems that many do. Why do we talk about it? Because we must avoid that same pitfall. We must understand where our heart is strong, where life resides, where forgiveness reigns, where the Savior is present. Deny not to me thy Holy Spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. And we might add, and make it to where I don't walk away willingly either. Does God ever desire to lose a child any more than we? No. The shepherd loves his sheep. He seeks for the lost. He's ever merciful for the repentant. Create in me a clean heart, O God. May I never, ever find myself separated and apart from Thee again. Now, we're not going to sing this song this morning, but I do want to turn to it and read the words. 252. 252. And if you've noticed something, do you have a habit of looking at the scripture that's above the song so that you can kind of guess or figure out where the song is taken from? All three of these songs, if you go back to these songs that we've looked at, 426, 117, now at 252, all three of them have the same passage, Psalms 51, verse 10. I think that's kind of neat. Here's how it reads. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, we're going to attempt to sing that this afternoon in our lesson in the fellowship hall. But look at that plea. It's just drawn right out of the scripture, isn't it? What does the psalmist understand? Where is life? Where is strength? Where are the answers? Where is it that I am made whole, healthy? It's in the Lord. And outside is darkness. Outside is sickness. Outside is death. What possesses man to come to the conclusion that he has the answers, a separate and apart from God? Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Did you read your Psalms this week? Weren't they comforting and encouraging? Perhaps you were too busy to get them all read. Okay, do better next week. Pick up what you missed and do better next week. Because within those words are God's wisdom. The Spirit of God resides in His words. Yea, the Son of God is called the Word of God. And it became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. That's where truth resides. It's found in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Create in me, transform me, make me different, God. Make me like You. Create a right spirit, a steadfast spirit. Because what happens whenever I am right with God? I become a beacon. He says, you do this for me, God. You clean up my mess, and I will teach you to the transgressors. I will become your missionary. I will become your preacher. I will become your evangelist. I will be the one that says to the world, this is where you want to be. Haven't you ever gone on a vacation and come back and shared it with everybody? Oh, that was so much fun. It really is a place you want to go. Is that not the way we should feel about Christ and Him coming into our lives? We were broken. We were repentant. He healed us. He raised us. He gave us strength. And so now we teach others the way of the Lord. In that song that we sang from 117, he says these words, here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Now you think of something being sealed, and I visualize a document from the king, from someone who is in authority back in older days when they would seal things with wax and they'd write out the edict and they'd fold it and they'd have a flap and they'd put wax on it and then they'd stamp it with their seal. And what was that all about? Well, it sealed it up until it got to the person that it was intended for or to the people. But that seal said what? This is from the king. And it carries the authority of the king. And there was it within that seal, the implication that it hasn't been tampered with and it hasn't been changed. And this is that which the king wants done. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. What's the psalmist asking for? Don't let any other forces intervene with my dedication to You. This identifies me. You put Your seal on my heart and that shows I am Yours. Do you wear a ring? Have you made a pledge? Have you taken a vow? What does it symbolize and represent? Faithfulness. And it's a reminder. Dedication. And it's a reminder. Someone else has pledged themselves to You as well. God, I know that You love me. Here's my heart. Seal it. But it also says not just I am Yours, but I am under Your authority. I serve You and You alone. Do you want to die in service to God? I do. Now you say, I'm not ready to get on that train yet. Okay, I'm not asking you. It may happen right now. It may happen before I finish speaking. We don't know when Christ will return. But do you want to die in the Lord? I do. Then live for Him. And you say, but if I could only figure out just when I was going to die, then I'd know when I needed to repent. Behold, today is this the day of salvation. It's what the Scriptures reveal. When you come to know the will of God, that's the day you need to repent. That's the day your spirit needs to be broken. That's the day you say to God, help clean up this mess. May You be gracious and full of loving kindness to me in my transgressions, but create in me a clean heart, O God. And it really is simple. Christ paying the debt for my sin. God simply saying, come. What does the psalmist say? Look at that verse. This is amazing. Look at verse 7, Psalms 51. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know what the Old Testament was alluding to 1,000 years before baptism was even instituted? Was that it takes water to cleanse. And you say, well, I know that. I wash my hands all the time. But what did we study last week, or perhaps it was the week before, about lye and soap? It can't take the stain of sin away, but Christ's blood can. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, they shall be as white as snow. And they cried out, pricked in their hearts, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said simply, repent. There's the contrite heart. There's the repentance. The broken spirit. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's the authority, the stamp. For the forgiveness of your sins. There's the cleansing. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do not deny your spirit from me, O God. Take it not away. May I reside with you from now on. It's simple. When's that supposed to take place in my life? Certainly the physical cleansing. As soon as I know the gospel and respond to it, confessing Christ's name. But then every day, I understand my own faults and frailties, and I come to God and I cry out, create in me a clean heart, O God. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Take me as your own, and I pledge, I vow, I pledge to you, I will be faithful till death do us part. You live every day in the Lord, and guess what? You're going to die in the Lord. That's as simple as it is. No day is worth the risk of having, knowing you're outside of the love of God. And you say, well, those people, you know, I just have a hard time fellowshipping with them. Okay? Well, if they're hypocrites, then you'll fellowship with them for all eternity. Ah, what did he just say? It doesn't matter what you call yourself, it's how you live. And it is God's own who will be with him in heaven. I have no excuse, no matter how I feel about others, for my own allegiances, for my own dedication. I am responsible to God, and I must respond. I like that one phrase in the song, oh, my heart is prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. That's why I need him to take my heart and seal it. And every day I need to remind myself of the commitment that I have made to him. And perhaps I find myself drifting away. Break my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Help me never to find myself absent from you. Behold, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. It's the door of your heart. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. As we stand, and as we sing.